Welcome one and all to our midweek church service on this wonderful Wednesday evening. It's raining here on the West Coast, and regardless of what the weather is, I pray that the Lord will cause it to rain here in our midst with an abundant outpouring of His Spirit tonight. So again, welcome dear ones, and welcome to those that are on the phone and to those listening to the recording. And praise God that we're able to come back together again and to worship our God, to sing His praises, to dig into His word of inspiration, and to meet here in His name and for His glory. So let's get right into our church service for this evening. Our opening song is entitled, O God, Our Help. And the link can be found at lightministries.com/ID1881.htm. And you'll find the lyrics there. So, O God, Our Help. O God, Our Help in ages past. Our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of Thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is Thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting Thou art God, to endless years the same. A thousand ages in Thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be Thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home. Amen. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer to tonight's service. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for being our help. We thank You so much for being our guide and through Jesus Christ, our shelter that we can flee to. We pray that Thy presence will be here in our midst. Please grace us with the atmosphere and the love and the light from above. Dispel all darkness in our hearts through Thy Holy Spirit. And please, Spirit, be here and lead and guide us into all truth. Dear Savior, we ask for Thy presence to be here as well. And please let the truth as it shines from Thy face light up our hearts and help us to understand the word, especially the truth for these last days. And we thank You so much for doing so. Dear Father, I pray that You'll be with all of Thy people around the world, be with the important meetings of truth that are going to be taking place in Kenya and elsewhere around the world. And please be here in our midst. And we thank you so much for doing so. Thank you that we're a day closer to getting off of this dark and wicked world, a day closer to eternity to spend with thee and with our fellow brothers and sisters of the faith. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're continuing in our article that's entitled Pray Without Ceasing. And we're down to the 10th paragraph that begins, Let All Remember. And you can find this article at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1395.htm. So pray without ceasing, the 10th paragraph, and it begins, Let all remember. Let all remember that the mysteries of God's kingdom cannot be learned by reasoning. True faith, true prayer, how strong they are. So if we try to understand God's word through reasoning it out, we're not going to learn much at all. Not anything that's true. Not the meaning of God's word. Because all the human reasoning in the world amounts to very little compared to God's wisdom, to his truth. So in order to comprehend and rightly understand God's word, we need more than just our own puny minds. We need God's help. We need to have divine wisdom in order to understand divine truth. So all the intellectual greatness that God may bless you with is nothing towards being able to understand God's word. It must be combined with the guidance, the insights, the directing power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit's job to lead and guide us into all truth. And that's why before we open God's word, we pray for Him, especially the Holy Spirit, to come to us and to lead and guide us into a right and correct understanding of the word. That way we're not wasting our time here trying to understand it in our own reasoning, but we're allowing God to take control and we're allowing the Spirit to lead and guide us to a correct understanding of the words of inspiration. And since we've prayed to them for help, then we must have true faith to believe that they are here helping us. And they really are. So let all remember that the mysteries of God's kingdom cannot be learned by reasoning. It needs true faith, true prayer, in order to bring them to our side and enable us to comprehend and understand spiritual things. Continuing. The prayer of the Pharisee had no value, but the prayer of the publican was heard in the courts above, because it showed dependence reaching forth to lay hold of omnipotence. So the prayer of the Pharisee was proud. He didn't need anything. but the prayer of the publican was heard because he recognized that he needed help. He reached out and depended upon God for what God could do for him, not what he could do for himself. And his prayer was heard because it came from a heart that recognized its need of help. Continuing, self was to the publican nothing but shame. Thus it must be with all who seek God. Faith and prayer are the two arms which the needy suppliant lays upon the neck of infinite love. So what connects us directly with God, who is love? Faith and prayer. Faith, we've never seen God. We believe that he exists. That's faith. Prayer is the direct communication between you and God. So through faith and prayer, they're like two arms that we lay around the neck of infinite love that's found in God. Continuing. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now there was a lot in these verses. So we're saved by hope. In other words, faith that is dependent upon God for help. So we're saved by hope because we have not seen God in the face. We have not seen our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. But we know that they exist because of faith. So the two arms which connects us with God are faith and prayer. And since we're imperfect human beings with imperfect minds, imperfect understanding, then we don't always pray for the things that we should, for the help that we really need. But the Spirit knows exactly what we need. And so the Spirit helpeth our infirmities or our needs of help. And the Spirit does this by interceding for us before the Father in prayer. In other words, he adds to our prayers the things that we really need, but we don't know how to pray for it. Or we're ignorant that we really need it. So not only do we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our divine intercessor before the Father, who's pleading his bloods and merits and righteousness before him in our behalf, but we also have the Spirit interceding for us through prayer. So not only do we see that Christ is our priest before God, interceding for us through his blood, merits, and righteousness, but here we also see depicted the Spirit as a priest interceding before the Father for us through prayer. And if you think about it, in Genesis it mentions that there was a priest of the Most High called Melchizedek. And this individual was representing God before that particular generation during the time of Abraham. And Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. So Abraham recognized that this Melchizedek was of a higher and superior position than himself. Now, when you get to Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 7, Paul identifies this Melchizedek and says that Christ's high priestship was based on the order of Melchizedek. So in other words, Melchizedek was not Christ, but Christ's priestship was based upon Melchizedek's priesthood. Okay, so Melchizedek was not Christ, but Christ's priesthood was based off of Melchizedek's. And then Paul goes in to say that this Melchizedek didn't have a father and mother, didn't have a beginning or an end, didn't have any kind of lineage, and so he could not have been human based on that understanding. So then who was Melchizedek? This other priest that Christ's priesthood was based on. I believe it was the Holy Spirit. And here we have evidence that the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God, right along with Jesus Christ. They're both interceding for God's people, but in different ways. So as the Spirit knows the mind of God, and as the Spirit knows our minds as well, then he knows exactly what to plead before God for you and me, and for all the rest of God's followers. So truly, with Christ as our high priest and advocate before the Father, and as the Holy Spirit as another priest and advocate before the Father, all our bases are covered in order for us to obtain salvation, freedom from sin. So with understanding this and knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God, continuing, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Dear one, these things should give us hope and courage to know and understand that everything is being done, all the loopholes are being covered in order for you and me and the rest of God's followers to be saved. There's nothing left to chance. Everything has taken place. It's covered. Truly, our salvation is full and complete as long as we remain humble and not proud. So what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Continuing. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Everything has been made ready for you and me to be saved. So then the only thing that's preventing us from obtaining salvation is our own selves. And our greatest enemy is self. with everything that's been prepared, what's going to keep us out of heaven? It's our own decisions, our own actions, our own choices. But if we crucify self and allow it to be mortified, in other words, it's dead, no longer alive, no longer being crucified, but is crucified. As long as we keep self alive, we can't obtain salvation. But once we allow it to be completely dead in us, that's when we start living. Not living our own life, but the life of Christ in us. That's why Paul could say, "For to me to live is Christ." That's what we all need to be able to say. For to me, Bob Sessler, to live is Christ. Not Bob Sessler. It's Christ that lives in me. And I pray that that will always be the case. The song, "Not I, but Christ," needs to be our song. Because that will be the ticket to heaven. Jesus Christ. Not this home church. Not any other home church. Not the name we call ourselves. But Christ is our ticket to salvation. So with Jesus Christ as our high priest, with the Holy Spirit as another priest before God, both interceding for us in harmony and unity with one another for the purpose of saving you and me from sin and destruction. And with God hearing what His Son and the Spirit is saying through interceding for us. And knowing what the mind of Christ and the Spirit is, then since God is for us, there's no one else that can be against us. In other words, preventing us from obtaining salvation. Praise God, dear ones. Salvation is not left to chance. Everything's been worked out. Everything is being carried out. Everything is being done to save you and me. So let us work in harmony with what the Godhead is doing for us and not work at cross purposes with them. Let us truly keep self hid that Jesus might reveal Himself through us. Are there any thoughts or comments, any questions, dear ones, before we continue? So with everything being done to make possible our salvation, and there's nothing, not even the devil himself, nothing that he can do to keep us from being connected with God, continuing, why do you not cease from sin? So with everything being done for our salvation, everything being open to us to obtain the divine grace and strength to overcome, then why don't you and me cease from sinning? Continuing, you may overcome if you will cooperate with God. So what is the key to overcoming all sin? Cooperating with God. He has the divine strength necessary to overcome the devil, who's the author and originator of all sin. So we can overcome all sin in our lives if we cooperate with God. In other words, no longer doing our own will, no longer working at cross purposes with the will of God, but coming into harmony with the will of God. Continuing, Christ's promise is sure. He pledges himself to fill the office of personal intercessor, saying, I will pray the Father. He who could not see human beings exposed to eternal ruin without pouring out his soul unto death in their behalf will look with pity and compassion upon everyone who realizes that he cannot save himself. If you're proud, you believe you don't need help. You can do it all yourself. But if you're humble, then you'll recognize that you can't do it all yourself. You need the help of someone who's stronger, someone who has done it before and thus knows how to do it again. You need guidance. So being self-sufficient is destruction. Being dependent upon God is eternal life. If you're dependent upon God, then you're cooperating with Him. So Christ, who poured His soul unto death for you and me, will have compassion upon us and will help us if we recognize that we cannot save ourselves. Continuing, He will look upon no trembling suppliant without raising him up. He who through His own atonement provided for man an infinite fund of moral power will not fail to employ this power in their behalf. This is something amazing to understand, dear ones. What the atonement of Christ for you and me has provided us. If you imagine a scale that goes from 0 to 100, and this scale measures the amount of strength necessary in order to overcome sin, 100 being all the strength you need and 0 being none of the strength you need. All our best efforts, all the strength that we can muster to overcome a single sin will barely raise that scale off of 0. Where does the rest of the strength come from that enables us to overcome? Combines with our puny little amount of strength in order to reach that 100% necessary to overcome sin? It comes from the infinite fund of moral power found in Christ. So we may only add 2% of the strength necessary to overcome, while Jesus supplies the other 98%. But by doing the best we can, and by Christ making up the difference, by being yoked with Him, by cooperating with God, we'll have all the divine grace and strength necessary to overcome all sin, even the difficult ones. Even the ones we've fallen over and over and over again into. Because the strength that Christ can give us is infinite. It's without limit. That's all provided for you and me if we'll just accept it and cooperate with God in overcoming self and allowing Christ to live through us. Dear ones, if you understand this, then you'll begin to understand that you can be perfect, completely sinless, but only by hiding self in Christ. Because Christ is the only one that can overcome in union with your efforts. He's not going to overcome for you. You have to take the first step towards overcoming. And then by faith, depending upon Christ to supply the rest of the strength to gain the victory. The first step doesn't gain the victory. It's only the first step. But that is what each one of us needs to do. So if you're battling a particular sin in your life, then recognize what that sin is. Recognize the repeated steps that you've taken going from one step to another step and then finally have given in to the sin. Recognize those steps and refuse to take the first step. Instead, turn about and go the other way. In other words, make the decision relying upon grace and strength and in faith and hope of what Christ can do through you. Don't commit that sin. Instead, perform the will of God. And once you take that first step towards overcoming, Christ will give you the rest of the grace and strength to gain the victory. When the children of Israel came to the Jordan River, on the other side of the Jordan was the promised land. They had just come out of the wilderness. To go back was in the wilderness, desolation. To go forward was the promised land. But here was this Jordan River as a barrier towards their gaining this promised land. God's message to them was go forward. But when they looked at the Jordan River, it was the time of the latter rain. And the Jordan River was overflowing its banks. It was impossible to swim across through human strength. What did God tell them to do? Go forward. What did they have to do? They had to believe that God knew what he was telling them to do. So they had to exercise faith in God, and then they had to make the decision to go forward, and then they actually had to take a step into the water in obedience to God's will. When they took that step, then God's power came through part of the Jordan River, and they were able to walk across to the promised land. Who gained for them the victory? God did. Did God do it all alone? No. It was a cooperation between the people and God. Did God part the Jordan River before they made the decision to obey God? No. It was only after. Once they decided in faith to follow God and they used whatever strength they had to take that first step, God gave them all the rest of the grace and strength necessary to gain the victory. The same process can be applied to you overcoming whatever sin you have in your life. So everything has been provided by the Godhead for you to overcome and gain salvation. So then, the question, why do you not cease from sin. Christ will look upon no trembling suppliant without raising him or her up. If you've fallen into sin, where do you look for help? To Christ, and he will raise you up. He will not fail to supply you with an infinite fund of moral power and strength in order to overcome whatever sin is troubling you. So you have all the power needed to overcome. If you believe it, then you can overcome any sin through Christ, which strengthens you. Continuing, we may take life's controversies and troubles to his feet, for he loves us. His every word and look invite our confidence. He will shape and mold our characters according to his will. And every day we shall be found asking, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So, dear ones, what is the key to victory? What is the key to becoming perfect and sinless as Christ is perfect and sinless? As your Father is perfect and sinless? The key is humility, faith in God, and cooperating with his will. Once you cooperate, using the puny amount of strength that you have, but it's all that you have, you're putting everything in the equation, all 2%. Once you do your best, Christ does the rest. So we overcome by faith. Faith in what Christ can do for us, not in what we can do for ourselves. So once we do our best, Christ will then do the rest. It's a cooperation. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions or testimonies, dear ones? Please feel free. Well, let's go ahead and stop here, and we'll take it up next time where we left off. And it might be good to go back over this one paragraph again, because there's a lot in here. And just praise God for making possible our salvation. And praise the Savior and the Holy Spirit as well for making it possible for us to gain eternal life. Dear ones, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And please feel free to open your hearts and souls to God. And let him know how appreciative you are of his free salvation.
If we could please kneel and bow our heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name. Lord, thank you for waking us up this morning and for getting us thus far throughout the week. It is only by your grace and mercy, dear Father, I pray. Thank you for the lesson that we are learning tonight, dear Father, and help us to lift it up and uphold it, dear Father, I pray. Let not the words fall on deaf ears, dear Father God, and help us to seek you in prayer at all times, dear Father God. Through you, all things are possible. Help us, Lord, to rebuke sin and call it by its name, dear Father God, and just glorify you in all that we do. Lord, thank you for answered prayers. Thank you for having mercy upon each and every one of us. Thank you for giving us this home church that we may be able to come together to learn of you and to edify each other. Please continue to guide us and bless us in all thy ways. Lord, please forgive our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings and anything that we have done in this body that is not of you. Bless those who are here tonight and those who will be listening to this study at a later time and those that are listening on the phone, dear Father, I pray. Please bless us and keep us in all thy ways. Thank you for all that you have done, for being so merciful, and all that you will continue to do. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father, and dear Savior and Holy Spirit, we thank you so very much for taking an active part in making possible our salvation, in saving us from sin and destruction. Thank you so much for all the various ways and methods that each one of you are putting forth in seeking to bring all of your people away from giving in to the enemy of righteousness and instead turning about and choosing to follow your will instead. Thank you for all the sacrifices that each one of you are making in order for me and others to be saved. Thank you for your patience and long suffering. And thank you especially for your love, your compassion, your tender-heartedness and pity for each one of us. And please fill our hearts with thy love. Increase our ability to comprehend and understand more of what the atonement cost, and yet it's provided to each one of us for free. And please help us to determine to rely upon you for the grace and strength to overcome, and then through faith take the first step in turning away from sin and performing your will instead. And thank you so much for being with us tonight. Thank you for hearing and answering these prayers and all other prayers that have been made in this home church and by thy people around the world. Thank you so much that you make yourselves available for us to come to thee in any time of need and know that we will receive it if we're humble and of a contrite, broken spirit. We thank you so much for being our gods. Thank you so much that we're one day closer to being able to see you all and to hug you all and to be in fellowship with thee throughout the rest of eternity. Thank you that your return is soon, for this world is truly not our home, and it's growing more and more wicked. Please be with us now and for the rest of this week until we're able to come back together again in sweet fellowship and harmony and in digging into your word of truth. And thank you for making all things possible to those who believe. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, are there any other prayers, any other thoughts or comments that you'd like to offer up before we close for this evening? Any songs that you'd like to sing or perhaps would like to hear sung, please feel free. Well, dear ones, may each one of you have a good and restful night's sleep. May God put his love in your heart, the thoughts of heavenly things in your minds as you fall asleep, and then the same when you wake up in the morning. And it'll be wonderful to be able to fellowship with you all once again soon. So keep looking up. Keep your hand on the plow. Don't look back. Keep moving forward. And remember, with dependence and cooperation with God, determined to take the first step against sin, and then see what mighty things God will do for you in gaining the victory through Christ that will strengthen you. So good night, dear ones, and may God bless.